Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Remember the dot-com boom and bust in the early 2000s? I remember it well. There was a time when it felt like dot-com businesses were a passing fad, right? Because so many of them cratered. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. Amazon.com being case in point number one. The story of cryptocurrency, I think, might go the same way. So certain players may fail, some of them spectacularly, like the news of FTX, the exchange. But the idea of digital currency may survive, may well thrive, especially if the central banks get involved. And that's what seems to be happening, not just in Canada, but around the world. A number of developed economies are exploring this idea, trying to figure out how to make it work, where it fits within our traditional system, and what impact it will have on you and I, the consumers. Katrin Tin is an assistant professor of finance from the Desautels Faculty of Management at McGill University. She recently co-wrote a piece called Why Digital Currencies Could Change the Future of Central Banking. She joins us now to explain. Hello there.
Hello.
Why is the Bank of Canada even interested in this in the first place?
So the main reasons that they would say is that we know that cash use is going down in Canada, as well as in many other countries. People are increasingly using cards and other mobile payment means, for example. And additionally, as you just introduced, there are digital currencies that have emerged, be them like these decentralized systems like Bitcoin, but even some technology firms have been considering issuing their own forms of money.
And so I think it's important for us to distinguish between the currencies, like the Canadian dollar is a currency, and the speculation on the currency, because currency traders have been doing that for, you know, generations. It is recently that people have been speculating on crypto, but what the central banks are interested in, it sounds like it's more about how we could transact using digital currencies. Is that accurate?
Yes, this is accurate, because the main reasons of interest why many central banks are thinking about it is to effectively make the payment systems faster and more efficient, but also more inclusive, because even in countries like Canada, there is still a noticeable proportion of individuals that are either unbanked or underbanked, meaning they don't have a bank account or they don't use enough financial services. So speed, efficiency, and inclusion are some of the main reasons. Yeah.
What does a digital currency provide that the Canadian dollar in its digital form does not provide? Because right now I bank online. I'm not touching a piece of paper when I go to do an e-transfer. I'm moving money around digitally. How does this differ from that?
For the end user, things might look reasonably similar. So maybe there would be one day a Canadian digital dollar and the individual uses a mobile or a card or some other payment device to make a payment as they would use a bank card. There are, of course, some differences that happen in the background because this digital currency would be more similar to cash in the sense that it will not be according to some plans and be lent out to other users. So for example, the bank, when they are taking deposits, they are also making loans. So it's one should think of it being like a physical Canadian dollar that is in a digital form. Of course, a lot of open questions are still there of how the CBDCs would be designed. So the end version may be slightly different from what we are imagining now.
Mm. So your piece argues that digital currencies could and will change the future of central banking. Can you give us some examples of what could occur?
Yeah, so a few things that could occur. And in the conference that we recently organized, there were many interesting talks about it as well. So one worry that banks sometimes might have is that is it going to destroy their business model? But as I said before, one should think of the central bank's digital currency as a means of payment or like a physical cash rather than a tool for saving. So maybe it will be the case that that banks will need to offer higher deposit rates or higher rates to attract funds that they can invest to other businesses and firms. and that could reduce the profits. But there would be also some interesting arguments that have been put forward that is unlikely to destroy the financial services or unlikely to destroy banking. And second, one can take it even more excitedly, perhaps having these digital better tools, maybe it can even enhance financial services by financial innovation, for example.
What does it do to the Bank of Canada's ability to fight inflation? So historically, it was kind of like, oh, well, we'll just print money or we'll take money out of circulation. And I know it doesn't literally work like that today. But as you think about digital currencies and their number one job, does it make it easier or harder?
So absolutely. This is one of the key reasons why they are thinking about it is the fact that if people would not be using cash, let's take it to the extreme. Maybe everybody will not use Canadian dollars at all. They would all make payments in some advanced form of Bitcoin. Of course, that would reduce central bank's ability to conduct monetary policy. But is a way that it is imagined as really being a digital equivalent of cash. If it is adopted enough, then effectively, largely the central bank's tools to conduct monetary policy would stay similar.
Where is Canada compared to its global peers? Banks in other, I don't know, OECD countries, are we leading the pack or are we lagging the pack?
Canada is definitely one of the countries that started to think exploratorily on about the CBDCs reasonably early, like before a European Central Bank and before some southern neighbors in United States. At the moment, they don't have, to my knowledge, like a very fixed timeline. Unlike European central banks that is currently in an investigative stage and in next autumn, they are going to decide whether to go further to testing and pilot phases. So in a way, the European central bank has put up a more concrete timeline and dates, while the Canadian plan is very much in the active thinking process and very sophisticated, but they are not nailing down any specific dates. Mm.
What is the number one risk that the Bank of Canada faces as it works on this digital currency idea? If you were in the room with Tiff and all his officials, what would you say? Hey, don't forget about this.
Yes. So for my point of view, like definitely the key consideration is regarding privacy and how to make the system so that it is protecting rights, right aspects of the privacy. So for example, protects well the individual's transaction records, but at the same time is still useful for forbidding things like money, like making it difficult to do money laundering and all sorts of other illegal activities. So for me, that is the most important trade-off that the specific design nuances need to solve. Of course, from the central bank's own perspective, I guess one of the big risks is that nobody wants to use it, so the adoption fails. But these two are like related. If it is attractive, because of its features, like, for example, privacy, and it might also be more likely adopted and vice versa.
Interesting. Catherine, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Catherine Tin is an assistant professor of finance from the Desautels Faculty of Management at McGill University. She co-wrote a piece called Why Digital Currencies Could Change the Future of Central Banking.